I want to throw out there a question, nothing related to Kachem, related to Pesach, just so you remember to think about it. Look it up when you go home or whatever it is. This will keep you up all night, Mr. Banks. Tosfos in Pesachim, Tzadik Tesam and Beis. Tosfos there, about the Dalet Kosos, says it's Masher from the Gemara that the Balabayas could be Motzei everyone in the house with the four cups. They just have to listen to it, and he could take care of everyone's obligation. Why? The Maishna Kiddush Medalet Kosos. That's what Tosfos says. That line there, someone please tell me what that line means, because what do you mean Maishna Kiddush Medalet Kosos? Then everybody's missing out on the Cheres, the whole idea of the Dalet Kosos. Ravina says straight in the Gemara, it's not a made up fluff idea. Ravina says straight in the Gemara, you drink the Dalet Kosos because it's Cheres, it's symbolizing freedom. If no one else is doing it except for this person's drinking the Dalet, how can he be motzi you on Derech Cheres? You need to fill Cheres. You need to fill that symbolization of freedom. Only you could do. How could someone else be motzi you in that freedom? In the end, Tosfos says we should drink liyish lachmir and liyish machmir to drink the four cups. But why in the world would he suggest even for a havamina, even for a while, that technically speaking you should have?
It requires a favor, right?
100%. Let's say women are excluded from the reclining. Fine, leave the women piece aside. But stam a person at your seder could be yotze from someone else. It's not kiddush. It's not Middin Kiddush. It's a totally different thing. I throw that out there. I'm working on something on it, but if you have something, please let me know. Okay.
Tzadik
Tesem Abeis. 99B. Okay. All right. So let's start. Kachim. I just got access this week to the Otzer HaChachma Library, which now opens me up to 3,000 more, 30,000 more Sfarim online. So between HebrewBooks.org and Otzer HaChachma, yeah, there's no safer, I think, that I can't have digitally printed.
No, there were things not on the HebrewBooks.org, like Tzofnas Paneach and the one you...
Whatever's not in HebrewBooks.org is an Otzer HaChachma. Whatever is in Otzer HaChachma
is an... But my next adventure is Tzofnas Paneach.
They each are complement each other perfectly, and everything's out there. Sounds like that's very hard. Okay, here we go. Kachim. It says, if you open up the first page, you have there the psukim. It says, V'lokhu, I underline that pasuk, V'lokhu min adam, V'nosnu al shtei ha-mizuzos, V'al ha-mashkof al ha-batim. What you do is, this is talking about the Korban Pesach, the Paschal offering. What they did is, they're supposed to take from the blood, and you put it on the two side posts, and then you put it on the crossbeam on top of the house, right? Vasher yochlosim, where are you going to eat it? That's what the pasuk in Bo says. Simple as that. Okay. Yeah. Did you get a packet? You got a packet?
Sorry.
I gave you
yeah,
a packet. Okay, fine. Now, here you go. That's the pasuk. So listen to this Gemara in Pesachim, 96a. The same exact line is in the Mechilta. I gave you the Mechilta also, which I used to not be able to do, but now that I have access to Otzer HaChachma, I have a beautiful Mechilta. Not only a Mechilta with the commentary of the Netziv running on the bottom.
Yeah,
I can give you 15 different
wow.
Mechiltas now. Okay, but let's start with the Gemara Pesachim. The Gemara Pesachim on the back of the first page. The pack is starting from the other side. I didn't mark off page one this time or anything. So you flip over that page, right? It says you're supposed to put the blood on the two side posts and the top. The Gemara says, where I put the line by the side, Tani Rav Yosef, Gimel Mizbechos Hayu Sham Alamashkof. There were three Mizbechos Alamashkof. There were three altars. On the Mashkof, which is the top beam, on the two side posts, Vesumi De'achrin Olohavi, and that's it. The Torah telling you to sprinkle the blood on all three spots is showing you that there's three Mizbeachs. When the Jews were coming out of Egypt, there were three altars that they had to sprinkle on, the two side posts and the top beam. Okay? That's what the says the Mechilta. Now here comes the Lamdisha question. Yesh Lachkar. The placing of the blood on the mezuzah and the mashkof. You follow me now? Here comes the question. The placing of the blood on the mezuzahs and the mashkof, is that because of what we normally require by an offering, that you're supposed to sprinkle blood? And therefore, just like that needed sprinkled blood on the posts, in the future you're going to have to sprinkle blood on the external Mizbeach, on the Mizbeach Chitzon. Or do we say, no, this is not a din in Zrika. This is not sprinkling of blood like by Korbanos. This is something else, some other need, whatever it is to fulfill. meaning just like there was no burning, the haktara, the burning of the incense by the paschal offering when we were in Egypt, yet there is in future generations, so too maybe there was no blood offering over there. That was something else. That was some other thing we might get to. You hear the chakira? That's the chakira. This trifecta sprinkling, is that midin zrikas damim, or is that some other Pesach, you know, in Mitzrayim type of din? To be honest, the Gemara and the Mechilta, by telling you that there were three mizbechos, there were three altars, sounds pretty much like which way? Which way does it sound? It sounds like that was sprinkling of the blood. That's zrikas damim. There's a lot, Ben. Wash. There's a ton here. It's a whitewash tonight. Oh, we have a lot in the back of the back table of the shul. Holy Moses.
The guy got a guilt trip. <laughs> Yeah.
You hear the question? Everybody hear the question in the first proof? That's the first proof. The first proof, I think, is from the Gemara itself. It says three mizbechos. That sounds to me like it's zrikas damim, like it's a real zrikas damim. I have another proof. Another proof, I think, one way or the other, is the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Dalet Amud Aleph. This is a key Gemara. I'm surprised we haven't seen it yet. I'm surprised. I'm the one who's been doing the shiurim. I'm surprised. I don't know why I haven't quoted it yet. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, Dalet Amud Aleph, says right there that Kulu L'mitzvah Kapara Bechdi Lo Ashkechan. You never find the Korban without... You never find the Korban without Kapara of blood. It's nothing without the blood. If you don't do the blood offering of the Korban, what do you have at the end of the day? You have nothing. So that's another proof telling me that the Sanhedrin, that the sprinkling of the blood when the Jews were coming out of Egypt on the posts, on the sides, on this and that, is Zrikas Damim. You hear? Those are my two proofs. Okay. Now let's take it the other way. I want to show you the next Mechilta. Turn to the Mechilta. What? Nafkaminas, good question. We'll get to that. Good question. Turn to the Mechilta. It's the second page of Mechilta. It has at the bottom, it says 9:30 a.m. in the bottom right corner.
Right.
The timestamp.
Right.
Ben, my question is, it says that they sprinkled the blood on the doorpost in the top by the Korban Pesach. So the question is that Zrikas Damim, like by a Korban, or is that something else? Something else they had to do, God wanted them to do while leaving Egypt. Which one is it?
I mean, was it like the equivalent of Zrikas?
Is it the equivalent of Zrikas? Because the Gemara says there were three Mizbechos in Egypt. The top beam, the side posts. Is that to be taken literally? So it seems like from the Gemara it's literal, and it seems like from the Gemara in Sanhedrin, you need a Zrikas, a real Zrika. Any Korban needs Zrika. Now I'll show you why I might think it's not literal. Look at the Mechilta. The Mechilta says, Alabatim Asher Yochlo Sabem. Ainli ella alabatim. That only tells me that's on the houses, but where they ate. But how do I know they had to also do this blood thing by the houses where they would sleep? Shai yoshanim minayim tamad lomar alabatim asher atem sham mikomakom. Meaning in the houses, wherever you are, you need to do it. Wherever you are, you need to make sure that you do it. You need to put it even where you sleep. Meaning if you're doing also where you sleep. What's the idea behind that? Why would you need to put it also where you sleep?
Almost like din mezuzah more than din korban.
What?
Almost like if you want to learn anything, you learn from din mezuzah rather than din korban. Like
what's mezuzah all about? Why do we put mezuzah on a home?
Ot, like it's
shmirah.
Shmirah. Protection.
And the fact that you put it on every...
Every place, even where you sleep, tells me... It's for protection, okay? Because the mashchis was going around in Egypt, was going around killing. Right. So therefore, the Jews had to have a sign on their posts, and therefore, the reason why you have it there is because medin mashchis. So on one hand, it seems like, I could prove from a couple places, that this was medin zrikas damim, just like a korban. On the other hand, it seems like, no, it's not medin zrikas damim, it's protection, shmira, okay? It's shmira. So which one is it? Is it din mashchis, or is it din zrika? Which one is it? So you give a simple answer. What's the simple answer you would give in a shir like this?
Both.
Oh! It's both. Two dinim. You see, it happens enough time. You sit in a kachem shir, you finally figured it out. Now I know we can stop. I finally know we can move on from kachem. Now you can just guess what's coming up. So there's two dinim over here. There's one din of nesinas hadam ala mashkof and the mezuzas. That's from the halachas of Zrikas Dama Korban. That's for dessert. That's for Zrikas Dama Korban. And that's only said where they're eating. Why it's included also where they're sleeping, that's a separate din of Shmira. Hatzalas Habayis. That's a different din in Shmira. Okay? Now, you could do that with everything in the Gemara. Anytime someone makes a shir, say there's two dinim. There's two lot. It fits beautifully with the psukim. Now go back to the psukim, front page. Turkey's out? Okay, here we go. Look at this order of the psukim. It starts with pasuk gimel and hey, gimel, you know, dalet and hey. So the flow of the psukim is as follows, and you can write it out yourself. You see, this is the flow. It starts off with the avodas haPesach, v'lakhu min adam v'nasnu al shtei mezuzas, pasuk zayin, right? Asher yochlu osam behem, where they're going to eat it. V'ochlu et habasar b'layla hazeh, and you eat the meat on that night. Tzliyesh, how you're supposed to make it, and so on and so forth. V'kacha tochelu so masnechem chagurim, you eat it while you're girded, you know, while you're running over there. Then it says, look at this, yud beis. Va'avarti be'eretz Mitzrayim b'layla hazeh, and I passed through Egypt on this night. La'Hashem u'b'chol elkei Mitzrayim v'kesi kol b'chor b'en tzayim, and I'm wiping people out one by one, says God. And then it goes back to the korban. V're'isi es dama pesach et adam u'pasachti aleichem v'lo yebechem negev. So you see, it seems very beautiful, even in the flow of the psukim. You have korban pesach discussion, the context of eating. And then it stops to tell you God's going to go through wiping people out. And then it tells you, and then I see the Pesach over there. I see the Pesach. So you get both elements. You have the putting of the blood on the mashko from the mezuzah for the purpose of Zrikas Adam, Achilas Korban. And then you have the putting of the blood for the purpose of protection, Shmira from the mashkis. Okay? I think that flows quite nicely.
What does it actually say about putting the Adam on the mezuzah?
Pasuk Zayin. The underline one.
Okay?
Fine.
Shmira there, you're talking about learning laws of mezuzah. Shmira
what?
Shmira is on both mezuzahs. Or Shmira in our pasuk here.
Okay, I'm saying it's the same idea as a mezuzah. It's the same concept, which is protection. Whether the law is different than the initial mezuzah, that's fine. I'm okay with that. Ramos says it straight out in the Shulchan Aruch, where he gets mezuzah as a source of protection, a shmirah. What does it say in the Torah? I know, but I'm saying where does the Ramah get that it's midin shmirah? I have to take a look. I think it's Gemara Menachos, and the Gemara Menachos says a diakram. What?
We're up to Gemara.
You're up to the Gemara's by there? Oh, I'm so blind. I'm giving a couple mezuzah shirim at the end of Pesach. I'll sit on that one. That's a good question.
That's what it says. The pasuk almost says. That's why I said ot. It's like a sign because
the sign is a sim.
Sign is not protection. Sign is a sign, right?
What's the sign?
Pasuk Shema Yisrael basically says that you.
Look, either way, mezuzah is definitely medin shmira. I could give you 100 amikomas. The question is, where did all the Rishonim get it from the Chumash? I have to work on that. But that's not my point. Forget mezuzah even. My point is, here this is clearly about Shmira. You don't need mezuzah. We just made an analogy to mezuzah. Forget mezuzah if you want to leave it. The point is, there's Rikus Damim, and there's something else. That's obviously Medin Shmira over here, at least. Here, you can see it for sure about Shmira. He's passing through Egypt, right. And he says, I want to see it over there in your walls. So
that's not Shmira either. It's an oath.
What?
Yeah, Vavarti Beretzayim B'layla Zeh, Lashem R'isi Yisadam Sachte Lechem, V'adam Yilachal O'os Alabatim Shev Sham. I'm passing through and I'm killing people by Adam. The blood should be a sign. For what? A sign for what?
It's an oath.
While I'm wiping out, while I'm going around killing everyone, have the blood in your house. So I don't kill you guys.
You can say that, you know, does Hashem really need the blood to know that this is a Jewish house and not to kill? It's more like an oath. Like,
but he wants us to do the sign. But why? It seems I'm going through Egypt. What's he doing through? He tells you going through Egypt. He's killing all the firstborns, Beretz Mitzrayim. I'm passing through Egypt, and I'm going to see the blood by you, and I'll pass over it. Why am I passing over? That's it. That's your knockout. Why is he passing over? He's passing over, so I don't kill everyone in that house.
But by using the word see, makes it an oath.
It's a sign, so I don't kill you.
Right.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm good with that. I have no problem with that.
That was our part of the bargain, was to do that.
The function of it there is to protect. Whether it is an oat, or it is a mezuzah, or it is a oat mezuzah, or it is a, you know, a doily, it's there for shmirah. So I'll take this a step further. Andrew asked, what would then be the nafkamina? Who cares which one it is? What would then be the nafkamina at the end of the day? Right? What's the difference? So I would say the possible nafkamina is that the last zrika, we know by a Korban Pesach, the last sprinkling isn't ma'akev. The shiarea, you want to call it the remnants, that's not ma'akev, the Korban. It's not ma'akev, the Korban being kosher. So the nafkamina over here also, if it's medin shmira, you shouldn't be missing any blood anywhere.
Right.
If it's medin Korban Pesach, right. So zrika, then maybe I could miss, you know, someone could accidentally not get one of his side posts, and it'd be fine, it'd be not a big deal. Okay, that's what I would say is a possible nafkamina. The Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar, which I have in the back, and it's also a Targum Rabbi Yonason. It's there, I should have put a line by it, but if you look on the back page, the last word in the line is Rebbe. Amar Rebbe, you see that? Rebbe says, Amar Rebbe Elazar, V'chi ma ra'a kosuv lomar shnei pamim. What does the Torah say twice? B'damai chai. Ela Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu b'schus dam bris mila. I took you out because of the blood of the bris mila and the blood of the Pesach. Ga'alti eschem mimitzrayim. U'b'schusam atem atidin ligal. In the future, you're going to be redeemed. B'sof malchus revius, at the end of the fourth generation. Yeah, hold on. I wanted to give you the part where you had Pirkei Rabbi Elazar, and it's also in the Targum Yonason, who says what they did was they were essentially mixing. They mixed the Dama Mila and the Dama Pesach, and they put it on the Mashkof. Yeah, there it is. A few lines above, four lines above the Rabbi Elazar. V'hayu lokchim Dam Mila v'Dam Pesach v'hayu nosnim al Mashkof bateim, and he would put it on the Mashkof. U'kishavar Kadosh Baruch Hu lingof Mitzrayim. When God came to smite the Egyptians, v'ra'a es dama bris v'dama pesach nismala rachamim. When God saw the blood of the Pesach and the blood of the bris, he was filled with mercy on Yisrael. Shenamar ve'avar alayich v'eret mesayich b'damayich v'amr lach b'damayich chai. Wow. The v'hi she'amda. I have a pshat in v'hi she'amda. Maybe I didn't make this up. Maybe I've seen it somewhere. V'hi she'amda. You know when we raise the cup and we say, this stood for us? What do you mean this stood for us? How did the cup stand for us? The cup didn't stand for us. It's the red wine you have in the cup. The red wine symbolizes the fact that God got there to the wall and he saw the Dam Mila and the Dam Pesach. That's Vihi Sha'amda. The blood is what stood for us. That was our defender based on this Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar.
What you said the other night, Virginia, because you asked the question, how did they go from Menteshaya Tuma to
how they flip all the other way?
So all these were the degrees that bring them up. The blood.
Mila, Dam right, Korban. Right. It was getting you, taking you up the ladder. Beautiful.
Thing, maybe
yes.
I'm just totally misremembering anything, but wasn't Mila something that had to do in the desert? Or that was right before they came in, 40 years later?
There's a second Mila. No, there's a second Mila exactly. Over there. The question is, that was just maybe a prima. You know, they just did the second letting of blood or a renewal after Sinai and all that. There's clearly in the Psukim a Dama Mila here, by the way. There's a Dama Mila mentioned in the Psukim. It's not,
okay,
it's not Midrashic.
Okay,
yeah, there's a Dama Mila mentioned over here. So you see, they put both over there, both bloods, and it was mixed together. The Dama Mila in the Dama Pesach, and it was put in the wall. So, what's that about? What in the world is that about? Since when by a korban, do we ask you by the korban, put a little Dama Mila there, mix it in with the korban? Right? Anybody ever ask you that when you bring a korban? Well, we never brought a korban. But you've never been asked to mix that together with the korban. So the answer is, because that part of it was nothing to do with Midin Zrika Sadam. That part of it was more to do with the Zrika, was the Hatzala Sabayis. And that's clear from the Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar. So you see, it depends on what it is, will affect the different things that were going on. So that's a nafkamina the other way. Why they had to mix in there the Dama Mila. That certainly was not for Zrika's Damim. That was definitely for Hilchas Shmira. Okay. Another nafkamina. It says here, if you look at Pasuk Yud Gimel, Bahaya Hadam Lechem Laos Alabatim Asher Sham. What's the right grammar? V'haya hadam lechem os. What does that mean? Translate that. V'haya hadam lechem os.
Blood was
not was. It should be for you. It should be for you. So Reb Chaim Brisker says, he has a chiddush from here. He says it's showing you the blood is supposed to stay on there. It's supposed to stay on there more than just you putting it there. Put it in a way that it can allow the blood to stay up there. What? Oh, that's more like the mezuzah, and it's not like the korban. When do you ever have the korban where you put the blood and say, make sure the blood stays around the well? After the night, it's over. Clean it up. It's done. The mitzvah's over. But when it comes to mezuzah, excellent. You keep the blood there for longer than that period. You keep the blood there longer from that period. Okay? That's another side to show you that it's medin shmira, medin mezuzah, and not necessarily just medin zrika sadam. Okay? It fits perfectly. Now let's take this in a totally different direction. I want to show you the Tosefta. Did the Toseftas make it in the end? Alright, the problem was on the Otzer HaChachma, they had the Lieberman edition of Tosefta. And that's broken up a whole different way. I couldn't get Polsky on the phone for that one. Alright, the Zegumar Pesach, what is that there? Zegumar Pesach or the Sankumar Pesach? Okay. There's a Tosefta at the end of Sachim, where Toseftas are.
No, what's that? She'd like some too. So.
Well, why? He don't have to.
Okay. Tosefta Perek Ches. And Halacha Zayin. Listen carefully. Elu Dvarim Sheben Pesach Mitzrayim LePesach Doros. These are the things between Pesach in Egypt and Pesach for future generations. Pesach Mitzrayim Mekho Ba'asor Shchitasu B'yod Dalid. Ein Chayv and Olav Karis. Leave that alone. Mashay Pesach Dor. Pesach Mitzrayim, it says, V'lokachu Shcheino Mashay Doros, or Shinomar Afani Pesach Doros. Hold on. He goes through a long list here. And it says, Pesach Mitzrayim, Lo Hayatoin Damim V'chalavim L'gabe Mezbeach. The Pesach in Mitzrayim didn't need the burning of the sprinkling of the blood and the burning of the fats on the Mezbeach. However, the Pesach in future generations does need it. Pesach Mitzrayim, it says, V'igatem el ha-mashkof et shteyem mezuzos, masha'en kein be-pesach doros, as opposed to the future generations. Okay. He goes through a long list, but I just want to focus on two things.
This is the
Tosefta.
The Tosefta is a source of halacha?
Yeah, of course. 100%.
Medrash halacha, but we
learn from it, sure. From it. I mean, it depends if it's in conflict with the Tosefta, whether this or that, but we definitely use it for a shir. So the Tosefta says that two things that are different out of the list of 9 or 10. One, it's one difference is that it has no zrika sadam and hektar chalavim and burning of the fats, while the Pesach in future generations does. And number two, you're supposed to put blood on the side posts and the beam, while Pesach in future generations does. So it's essentially two distinctions. The Mizbeach distinction and the special Zrikas HaMashkov distinction. That's the two distinctions. So the Brisker Rav pointed out the following problem. Why is this two separate categories for the Tosefta? Pesach Ledoros or Pesach Mitzrayim? There's an idea of putting blood. Just one was on the Mizbeach, and one was on the side beams. Right. That's the only difference. It's not two differences. One had a sprinkling of the blood and one didn't. One had a pudding on the Mashkov, and one didn't. The Brisker Rav says it's one difference. One had a sprinkling on the Mizbeach, and one had a sprinkling on the crossbeam. He's got a good question. He leaves it as a Tzarechian on the Tosefta, right? So I thought like this. This fits perfectly with our whole idea. Yeah. It's not a problem. It is two ideas. Issue number one is the sprinkling, the idea of the sprinkling of the blood. There's an idea of mizbeach. There's an idea of mizbeach, of zrikas adam mizbeach. The second issue is the issue of atzalas habatim, of shmirah. So what Tosefta was arguing, different than what we had before, but at least he was making it as two categories, just like we established, is one category is that in Egypt it didn't have a din of zrikas damim, right? It didn't have zrikas damim, while in the future generations it will. Number two, the second issue was the blood, that was for shmirah. There's no shmirah issue when it comes to future. So I think from the fact that Tosefta,
We all hope Baal Shemuel, you have to say a mappel.
But at least the Korban Pesach didn't tie into the, had no element of needing to be part of the Shmirah process. Right. Let's call it that. Okay, no, had no need to be part of the Shmirah process. So that's Tosefta's clearly arguing on us, but I mean not us. Tosefta's clearly arguing on the Shita of the Gemara. However, he is agreeing with our premise that there's two separate categories going on here. There's two discussions to be had here. There's a discussion of Zrika like a Korban, and there's a discussion of Shmira. And they're two separate topics going on. And I think that's what Tosefta is getting at, which fits perfectly with what we said. Okay? With what we said. However, here's the problem I want to pose. I showed you at the beginning of the Shir, the Gemara and Sanhedrin, Dalet Amud Aleph. The Gemara at the beginning of Sanhedrin, Dalet Amud Aleph says that we never find a korban without kaparas dam, without a blood offering. It defeats the whole purpose. Without the blood offering, you have nothing. So if the Tosefta is right, how in the world could the Pesach, the korban Pesach in Mitzrayim, not have a blood offering? You hear the question.
There was no mizbeach.
So the Gemara Pesachim says that the walls and the side and the top served as a mizbeach. Right. But if he wants to say that's not, the Tosefta is saying it's not like that. Tosefta is saying that's not a mizbeach. There's no mizbeach. But you're missing the main function of a korban. You're missing the main function, which is the kapara element.
Do we find that all the korbanos that the Avos brought has rikazem?
Was what?
All the korbanos that the Avos brought. Like
everything by the Mishkan, everything all had Zerikas Dam.
All the korbanos like they came before the Matan Torah. Like all the korbanos that Avram brought and that Yitzchak and Avram going all over the place setting up his Mizbeach. Do we think that there was a Zerikas Dam in there?
The whole metaphysical framework of Kapara didn't exist before Matan Torah.
There's nothing to be Mechaper on, you're saying. What's the function of the korban here? I think this is already the answer.
The practical function of the carbon was obviously to get the blood to put on the
carbon was an ice.
You say the shmir. Okay. You could use that as the answer. I was thinking that the primary function of the animal itself was for the purpose of achilas ha-korban. Meaning you had a mitzvah to eat korban pesach. There's a mitzvah to eat korban pesach. That mitzvah is not the same. Later on, after Matan Torah, as you all are saying, there was something new that was created. What's that? The idea of korban being l'ritzoi. The idea of korban being either for kapara or for ritzoi, for appeasement, like we saw by the Asham, to make good by God after you broke something.
The korban in later days was zecher l'tzias Mitzrayim. They didn't need zecher l'tzias Mitzrayim in Mitzrayim.
So in Mitzrayim, there was a mitzvah that God was telling you to eat the korban, whether it was to counteract what they did in Egypt and to go against that. But there, the mitzvah was not. I'm trying to say, the mitzvah here was clearly not about kapara and ritzoi. There was nothing for them yet to be mechaper on. They didn't need to go through the tshuva process yet. That's not what this korban is. There's plenty. They were in Egypt. They were living in the 49th level of Tum and all that. But if you look at the whole discussion of the korban here, there's no talk. There's not even a hint that it has anything to do with kapara over here. This is more medin achila. God is commanding us an idea of eating while we're running out. There's a din achila. Why is achila? Why is achilas matzah? Why does God want us to eat as we're leaving with the Egypt, with the matzahs?
What about cooling? Like, or shlamim? You know, korbanos that are not really brought for kapara,
They're not karma. They are ritza. They are to create a bond between you and God. They're working on the relationship aspect.
We're saying zrikas damim is something like kapara. What's the point of zrikas damim by banging this kapara?
No, I'm saying zrikas damim functions as kapara, ritzoi. It achieves the process of making good between you and God. Shlomim, we say. What is shlomim? Shalemus, between you and God. Even though you didn't do any sin, it's still to make the relationship stronger, tighter.
Is there a notion of kapara with respect to the shalemus of b'nei Noach?
Yeah, that's a whole great. I discussed that Yom Kippur in the afternoon. Does the possibility? The better question is: do they have the possibility of kapara? Not do they have the obligation of kapara? Can they do kapara for the things they're obligated in? That's a whole big discussion. Whether there's such an element, it's a major discussion, very controversial. So, Bekitzer, and that's sugya. It's a machlokas rishonim, machlokas achronim. Not so clear that there is. I would say that way. Not so. All the answers we gave to prove that there is just kvetching it. But the defense was, in the end, they might not be able to have the ability for kapara, but they might not need to do kapara.
Right.
You know what I mean? The expectation in the relationship is different. That's why there's no. That was one of the main defenses. Rav Huttner said, yeah, they might not have the ability to do kapara, but the expectation is different. They don't need the kapara. That's why there's no ability for the kapara. It's only when you could fall so badly that God gave you the gift of kapara. Maybe the non-Jew can't fall as bad as the Jew. That's the idea. So you could look at it, double-edged sword. You look at it either way. It's the Tumah issue also is like that. Okay, so the so one more thought. So I leave that at just a din achila. And I want to prove that the achilas, that Korban Pesach in Mitzrayim was just about a din achila primarily. What's my proof? Here I know we have the Gemaras on the table. Ben, can you pass me the... Let's use that one, actually. Can you pass me that Zvachim? Is that Zvachim? Mm-hmm. I'll take that one. Okay, let's go here. Tzadik Testament Base. Oh, I believe I gave it to you in the packet anyways. Okay, I'll show you. I didn't make this up out of thin air. Amar Rav Chizda Pesach Kedei Nasbe.
Right.
So, Maskana Mishani Kan Kodim Sheshachtu Vizarku Olav Kan Lakshav Vizarku Olav Dehi Loyav Pesach Shmei. Mizarku love. Vayhi the tova the ochel the arab kishamei saldan. Okay, this Tosus is talking about an onen. An onen is someone who has to deal with their dead on the day that the dead die. They're an onen. So the din is, Tosus tells us that an onen, even though they don't bring a korban, they still could bring a korban pesach. Why? Says Tosus, the reason, here it is, the first wide line in Tosus. The Nira Lafaresh Kavan de Iker Pesach Lobo Elala Achila. The primary function of the Korban Pesach is La Achila. Unlike any other Korban, and this is the shir we did last year, how there's a real specific mitzvah Achila. By other Korbanos, built into the mitzvah of the Korban is also to eat it when you're supposed to. But by Korban Pesach, there's a separate mitzvah to eat it. And not only that, Tosfos says that was the primary reason for the Korban.
What's the bracha on the Korban Pesach?
I don't know. Achilas Pesach, right? The mother makes it.
I'll Achilas.
Yeah, that's Pasha Vash. Yeah.
Somewhere, it's written somewhere.
Yeah. So the so even though the onen doesn't bring a korban, he's able to bring a korban pesach since it's ikar leachila, and anything which is roi leachila is mutter for him to bring while in a state of aninus. So the griz, the briskerov, says as follows: ma she'onen eino mevi ba'aninus is from the nehuge aninus, is from the customs of the onen, that the onen is usher to bring a korban. Asher nira dahainu dafka ka asher ikoro b'toras havas korban. But the korban pesach, whose primary function is la achila, ein la hakorban stira linihu ganinas. It has no contradiction to his status of being an onen. It has no contradiction to that status of being an onen. And that's, I think that would support, that's a good backup, right? That would support our point to explain why, if Gemara and Sanhedrin says any korban's got to have a blood offering, how could Tosefta say there was never a blood offering in the Korban Pesach in Egypt? That was for Shmira on the walls. How could Tosefta say that? You're missing the main part. Because the Korban Pesach was always Ikaro Achila. After Egypt, in later generations, there might have been an element of Ritzoy and Akrava as well, but it's primarily a function of Achila, and that's all it was in the time in the Pesach Mitzrayim. It was a Din Achila and not Midin Hakrava.
Can we open up a can of worms as far as like Chiyuv to bring it as opposed to eat it?
Well, that wouldn't open a can of words of the Shitas Reb Nassim that we saw last week. Reb Nassim Sata Achila wasn't Ma'akev. What is he going to do with this idea? I mean, I'll say one more idea. I put it in the packet. Now that you bring that up, I think this could sort of navigate around that. If you look in the Or Sameach, it's in the packet, and I now have the Or Sameach, thank God, because of Otsar Swarm. Yeah. But actually, Or Sameach is on Hebrew books, by the way. Or Sameach in the Psulia Mukdashin, you look at Halacha Yud Aleph. He's explaining the Rambam. I think we did this Rambam last week. That the Pesach Sheshachtu L'Shem Chulin is Pasul. Why? Because it says Zevach Pesachu. V'amartem Zevach Pesach. Okay, if you shecht the korban Pesach for the profane purpose, it's going to be pasul. It says v'amartem Zevach Pesach. So what's the makor for the Rambam? So the Achronim say the makor for the Rambam is Yerushalmi Psachim. That the Rambam says, it himself quotes the Yerushalmi, the Rambam quotes it. That is in Perek Tamid Nishchat, that says it straight out. So the Or Sameach explains the following. In the Or Sameach, the kol korban sheshachtu l'shem chulin, in general, other korbanos that you did for a profane purpose, it's kosher. How do we know that? That was the second shir we did. Zvachim Gimel Amid Aleph, 3a. Right? But kevan de chulin, since, this is the phrase from the Gemara, since chulin, lav mine de korban, lahachi lo machriv bay, the Gemara says. Since chulin is not the same type of thing as the korban, it's not going to destroy it. But here comes the Or Sameach, beautiful. But by a korban Pesach, who the main function is to eat it, it's so similar to a chulin, that if you have in mind for a chulin, you're going to ruin it. When you have in mind something that's so obviously not that, it can't hurt it. It's so out of left field, your thought, I obviously wouldn't apply it to the animal. But if the two are so aligned, they're both achila, then my thought of having it chulin is going to ruin it. Again, showing you that the etzem, the korban Pesach, it was really a din in achila. I'll give you one more Or Sameach. I have it there. You look at the paragraph that says ulam. I think I underlined where it says ulam. Or you put an arrow. Yeah, I put a bracket there by the ulam.
Yeah.
He says over there, a big chiddush. That all of the korbanos, we never find that you could eat it without a haktara, without a burning. Even if you lose the amorim, if you lose it. But by korban Pesach, the fascinating thing, says the Or Sameach, is that you could eat it even before the burning. And that fits nicely with what happened in Egypt. There was no burning. In Egypt, there was no haktara semurim. There was no burning of the innards over there. They didn't have that. And the reason is because the Pesach ikaro bola achila. Korban Pesach is primary a din achila. You don't have to worry about whether or not you get to the emurim. Sure, we do it. We add it by all the korbanos now. You burn the emurim. You burn the innards. But it's not ma'akev your achila, because the primary mitzvah is the achila, not the burning, not the blood. It's the achila. That's the primary function. And therefore, that I think it all fits. It all fits nicely. Everything I think fits nicely in a nice package together. Okay, I'll stop there. Stop there. That's all I have to say on it tonight.